1, 2, 3, 4.
War Arts and Culture summits the airwaves. This is the Nine Rails Arts Podcast. I am R. Brandon Long alongside Todd Obendorfer, and we are the Banyan Collective, arts and adventure podcasting since 2010. This episode includes interviews with Illuminate artists and representatives from Utah Arts Alliance, including Michael Christensen, Programming Director from Utah Arts Alliance, Jason Bocut, Community and Performing Arts Manager for Utah Arts and Museums, Justina Bonaventura, Illuminate Light Artist, Daniel Romero and Joshua Faulkner of Conquer Monster, and Derek Dyer, Executive Director, Utah Arts Alliance. All right, so thank you to Andrew Watson with the Ogden Symphony Ballet Association, and he is also tied into Utah Arts Alliance, for inviting us down to Salt Lake to experience Illuminate.
I feel we need to make him some cookies. We need to, you need like a care package.
Yeah.
He has set us up with some amazing interviews. And in turn, we love to give some love to Ogden Symphony Ballet Association and everything that he is doing. So thank you, Andrew, very much. We had an amazing time down at the Gateway, kind of my old stomping grounds. I lived in Salt Lake for how long? 10, 12 years, something like that. And when the Gateway was just getting its start, and that was the spot, we went down there all the time.
Yeah,
and then they built this other outdoor ball.
Yeah. So the Gateway is going through a resurgence right
now. It is. It's like a little bit of a sort of arts and culture usage now.
Which is turning out fantastic.
It was very impressive. It was super cool. We were very, very fortunate to get front row and center.
Yeah, right in front of the gallery.
Yeah, no, it was a really, really fun night. And of course, not just anybody to talk to that night. We talked to every single person I think involved with Utah Arts Alliance. When I say every person, I'm sure there's more to it than that, but definitely some of the main players, I would say.
And we got to see a concert.
Yeah.
Conquer Monster. So that was definitely unique.
Those boys are a trip.
Wow.
I suggest tracking them down if possible.
Yes. So this is, we did 5 interviews. They're all fairly short, between 7 and 10 minutes, besides Derek Dyer, who's the executive director of Utah Arts Alliance. His bumps into like the 19 minute range. So we're just going to let him roll.
I think that's probably a good idea. That's kind of how we treat it tonight.
Yeah. So these are as recorded down at this year's Illuminate. Is it festival?
Light Festival.
Light Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the Gateway.
Second annual.
Beginning with Michael Christensen, and then Jason Bocut, Justina Bonaventura, two gentlemen from Conquer Monster, ending with Derek Dyer. I'm ready to rock. Are you ready to rock?
Yeah, you want to start things
off? Yeah, all right. We are down here at Illuminate, Salt Lake City, and we just got the van set up, and so we're beginning this evening with Michael Christensen, Program Director of the Utah Arts Alliance. So, Michael, welcome to Tan Van.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. This is a great setup.
We've came down from Ogden, so thanks for allowing us to leave, you know, Ogden and participate down here at the Gateway.
Yeah, no, this is great.
I like it's a good back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're all winning here.
And Salt Lake is invited to Ogden.
Yeah.
So
second annual.
Yeah. Illuminate. Uh-huh. What can we expect here this evening?
Okay, so I need to do a little disclaimer here. I did not have to do much with the development of this event this year, and I do another program with the Arts Alliance. But I can speak to a little bit about what's available here. So this is the Light and Art Festival. And so if you're just kind of walking down the strip here, you will find all manner of kind of electrical art. In some of the storefronts, they have like kind of little walking around exhibits where you can kind of see like, you know, light art projections, sculpture art. I'm pretty sure that most, if not all, the artists are here that they could kind of talk about what they've done there. And then, of course, the biggest exciting thing going on, in my opinion, is the it's officially called the Illuminator, and that is basically a massive disco ball that Derek Dyer created, and it's the the largest disco ball. We don't like to call it disco ball because that's we never actually use disco music for it. But it's the if you
that
like
ball
disco,
is used for a single purpose for the most part. That I wonder what else you would call it. What's he calling it?
So the kind of the clever name is the Illuminator, but we've called it like the Mirror Ball. Mm. I've heard it yesterday. I heard it called the Chromosphere.
I like Illuminator.
I do too. It
Illuminator 3000.
Sounds like a killer robot of some kind. It is definitely not a killer robot, though. It is, and so it's just right down there by the Olympic Fountain. And then we have little alcohol kiosks, if you're into that kind of thing. And then we have food vendors also kind of near the north end, which is also where the Illuminator is. So, yeah.
And it's free to the public.
Absolutely free, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. People who were just planning on coming down here and didn't know about it were really excited to walk through. I've already heard the comments. Like, what's going on?
I just came to get some shoes, and here I have all this. Yeah.
Bonus. Well, while we have you in the van, let's talk a little bit about the Utah Arts Alliance.
Yeah.
Their purpose, what do they do, your involvement, the other projects that you work on with them.
Yeah. Okay. So it's our mission is to foster the arts in all forms in order to create an aware, empowered, and connected community. And so
he has that memorized, by the way. He didn't look at anything.
That's in my soul now. And what we do, we secure venue space for performances. We secure studio space for artists and nonprofits. And we have a gallery space. We have a music recording studio near 21st South, Counterpoint Records Studios. Counterpoint Records is the name of the building, and the actual program that runs out of that is the Midnight Records Productions. So we have spaces, we have, studios, we have, and then we do programming and festivals, and we succeed in putting together artist resources. My current project that I'm working on is putting together a list of all the different arts administrators in the city and kind of compiling a list of professional resources available for artists like grants, other types of studio space and educational workshops, things like that, and we just want to make that as readily available as possible. So that's another kind of thing in our purview, just kind of like trying to bring all the resources together as much as possible in one way, shape, or form. And then my program that I developed about in 2010 is called the Connect Program, and the point of that one is to, if you don't mind me going into that, what we do, we rent out this gallery here, and we basically provide gallery space for emerging artists, so any visual artist can bring up to 2 pieces of their work out to our venue once a month here, and then we do it with a partner nonprofit up in the avenues, and basically it's kind of like trying to bypass the curatorial process.
Interesting.
So in addition to kind of augment what is already available. Anyway, yeah. Lots of fun stuff.
That is a handful.
How did you get in a van down at the Gateway? Now, how did you get into that? What did you do before? You were at the Arts Alliance.
Pre-2010.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be a filmmaker, and then I realized just how difficult the system was for new artists, new creators. So I do this Connect program for visual artists, but I actually started out as a filmmaker. Mm. And I just, because it's easier to deal with art than film. But so I started out as a filmmaker doing short films. I went to a charter school in West Valley called East Hollywood High. Mm-hmm. And that was, have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That was very formative for me. And then I was going to major in sociology at Weber State University.
Shout out to Weber.
Yeah, Weber was awesome. But I never really did too well in the academic world, and so I just kind of left that. And then I came to Salt Lake City and just started doing like weekly get-togethers with artists, trying to just see what was available. And then I ran into Derek Dyer, who founded the Arts Alliance, and he was doing something that was very compatible with what I wanted to do. So I just said, I'll just scrap all my branding and just jump on board with you. And so, yeah.
Sometimes you just know the right people to pair with.
Yeah, exactly. And so he was exactly that. It was kind of funny. I went to him with kind of this big laundry list of things I wanted to do, and he's just like, I'm going to try to do my best Derek impression. He was like, yeah, man, let's do it. And we just did it.
And I'm sure you clarified, okay, in about 10 years, are you going to have an illuminator, because that's going to be part of that. Because
we're going to need one of those. Well,
The thing was, I think it was in 2004, he'll probably have to fact check me on this, but in 2004, he created the world's largest disco ball, and it was made out of styrofoam and just kind of little kind of plastic-like mirrors on the outside, and that got him in the Guinness Book of World Records. And then somebody in Russia beat him, and so he said, well, if I can't make the biggest one, then I'll make the nicest one. And so he did end up making the largest one in the North America, but it is also very nicely built, and it's not made out of styrofoam, and it takes 10 people 4 days to build it. So it's he started out as a visual artist too, and he wanted to make the Arts Alliance because no one would accept his art, so he wanted to make his own artist collective. So
you found a need in the artist community, and you kind of just jumped into it.
Yeah, and we were artists, and we weren't researchers, and so so what that meant was that we, rather than go out and research if what we wanted existed, we just made it, and then 2 years down the road, when we saw something that had been similar to what we wanted to create, we just kind of awkwardly tried to partner with them. So, that was a lesson learned there. So a little better at researching now, but. Yeah.
I love it. I think that's fantastic. Now, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to make more connections with Ogden a little bit further north.
Yeah, that would be great. I've wanted to get a Connect program down there. I'm a huge fan of Amir Jackson. He's come out and spoken at our events numerous times.
He's got a big event tonight. In fact, Disco Ball, his big prom. He has a big prom event tonight.
Oh, is that a fundraiser
doing? It's his big fundraiser, yeah. Okay. Exactly.
That's great. Yeah, I'm sorry to have missed that. He's such a cool dude.
I will pass on the love to him.
Yeah, yeah, please
he's
do.
He's definitely in our circle of love for sure.
How about Jake McIntyre? Is he also in your circle?
He's in a very close circle. In fact, he's the one that got me really heavily involved in the Nine Rails Creative District. So what's your connection with Jake?
So he came out to speak at one of our Connect events, and then he and I just grabbed a bite last summer, and we just kind of geeked out on big systems thinking. He's so sharp at that, and then he and I recently just were sitting at the same table about a couple of weeks ago at the Change Leader program. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, I'm going to Moab for the full conference.
Oh, cool.
Tomorrow or the next day, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
For the full conference.
Andrew's happy about that.
That's terrific. Yeah. I certified 2 weeks ago. It was great. Yeah, so I saw him there. He presented, and that was terrific.
I missed it. That's all right.
Oh yeah. No, you missed a lot, though. It was a good experience.
We're heavily involved with the Argo House, his new... Okay. You need to come up and check some things out.
Yeah, I went on a tour. I don't quite remember what it was called, but I think it was the Argo. Was it on that main, was it 21st? Is that the street?
The Monarch or the smaller building, probably above that. Anyway, we have
it was like an old renovated building.
That was his new Argo House, I'll bet.
Okay, yeah. It was a beautiful space.
I'm excited.
Really great, yeah.
I love connections.
Yeah. It's like everybody knows everybody at this point. Yeah.
And bringing it back to Illuminate, so when you hear this, it's over. So the podcast listeners didn't get to enjoy it, but already making plans for next year, I assume?
Definitely. We're always trying to outdo ourselves. Which isn't always that hard to do. No, I'm kidding. So we'll be kicking into gear probably, 6 months prior. But then our next festival that we plan is the Urban Arts Festival, which takes place in September. And that's another big one too.
And then how can people get involved or in contact with Utah Arts Alliance?
So we have a very fortunate website domain name where you can go and find just our volunteer opportunities. But it's utaharts.org.
Wow.
Super simple.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Whoever nailed that one.
Yeah, that was Derek. Yeah, he's very proud of that one. We all are, of course. We have the tabs at the top. We have a get involved tab or something like that. And then you just go and, we have a number of, attempted to describe, a number of different departments you can get involved in, whether it's one-off events or regular gallery staffing. We have paid staff, but we also do have volunteers that can kind of vet their way to be paid staff. And then we have, of course, the Connect program, a number of things we're working on there. So many different opportunities.
Michael Christensen, Program Director of the Utah Arts Alliance down here at the second annual Illuminate. Let's get a chat with you again soon, a little longer.
Yeah, that'd be great. Awesome. That'd be wonderful. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sweet.
Great to meet you guys.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
She was kind of funny, too, because my good friend Lori Buckley
did it at the same time.
And she and I we got our BFAs together at Weber. So she's more of a painter. I'm a printmaker. And so became like thick as thieves. And I think, I want to say near similar time, she started with Ogden City. I started as the outreach manager at Department of Visual Art and Design at Weber. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're fleecing Ogden little bits at a time.
Yeah.
I like it. That's the pre-talk there. In the van now with us is Jason Bocut, Community and Performing Arts Manager for Utah Arts and Museums. And we're just trying to get to know, like, it's like, who you know? Like, who do you know where?
There's a little crossover there. Yeah,
the arts community can be small sometimes.
There's definitely some crossover in Ogden. I love Ogden.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah.
Well, we'd love really to come say hi.
It's such a cool place.
Sweet. Well, tell us about your day job, will you?
All right. I work for the state for the Utah Arts and Museums. Our official name is Utah Division of Arts and Museums. And I've been doing that for going on 11 years. So it's the state-run government job. It is the one we get funding from the National Endowment for the Arts, as well as from our state legislature. And a lot of what we do is granting. That's mostly how people know us, is through being an organization that grants out to cultural organizations across the state.
And that's enough right there. Thank you very much for that part.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa.
But of course, that's not everything you do.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we are, we're gathered at the Illuminate Festival. Are you here as a fan? What's your involvement?
So
you're
I'm
on a
also,
board.
Yeah, I volunteer as, I'm currently the board chair for Utah Arts Alliance.
I'd say that's significant. And how long have you been with them?
Oh, God. Maybe going 4 years?
4 years?
Yeah, I think 4 years.
How old is that program? Utah Arts Alliance. Since 2010-ish? Is that about, or is that just
2003,
when?
2003, I want to say.
2003.
Says Andrew from outside the van. Yeah.
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah. So does that keep you busy enough?
Yeah. Yeah. And then on the side, I am still engaged in doing theater. So that's my art form.
I was going to ask. Yeah. What's your...
In my art form's theater. I act and I direct.
Very, very fun. So, anything right now?
I go into rehearsals at the end of January for a play at Plan B Theater Company called An Evening with Two Awful Men. And I play
One
of the awful men.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the best title.
I know, right?
You seem so not awful.
I know. That's nice.
This is true. It's true acting.
Is the character awful or is that the gimmick of the name?
He is awful. I think he's awful. Oh. But not like mean awful. He's... really selfish and is interested only in defending his reputation rather than defending things that are worth defending.
So for you, who, as far as I can see, seems genuinely nice, it's a good way to get that out.
Yeah, exactly.
As an actor.
Yeah, exactly.
Your alter ego.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
So year two of the Illuminate Festival, how's things going?
I'm loving it. It's cool because we've moved into this new location. The Urban Arts Gallery is in this new location, and it's nice how we can spread out from here down the gateway. And I've just was looking through a bunch of the gallery shows, the displays. They're awesome. Looks really good.
Yeah, we're gonna walk around.
We haven't left the van yet. We got set up and started interviewing. So
I would never leave this van. Love this van.
It's toasty. It's warm. We keep ourselves comfortable. Yeah.
It sort of has a little maybe cult following in it in Ogden. Hashtag Tan Van. For those of you who may not know, you can follow hashtag Tan Van and our other fun podcast we do from this crazy van, Van Sessions, where we put musicians in here.
Brilliant.
And they perform during First Friday Art Stroll in Ogden.
That's so cool.
But I think more times than not, before they leave, they want a photo in front of the van for themselves. They could care less about the two of us.
Oh, yeah. We are so not the talent. It's the van, which is pretty fun. Well, no, this is a great... thanks for inviting us down here. I appreciate that, and thanks for coming in and chatting with us. What should artists know about writing grants?
That they shouldn't be afraid of it. Okay. That yes, the first time you do it, it's going to be nerve-wracking. But once you get it done, once you've got one under your belt, they all become easier. They all become something that anyone can access. And as a division, we want to support people getting this funding. So don't be afraid to call us. I feel like people don't call us, and they really should call us because we want to help them.
And you guys put on workshops as well, don't you?
Oh yeah, we put on workshops.
You come to us. I've taken them. I've taken many, many.
Yeah,
workshops.
We just were in Ogden just last week with a workshop.
And I think
Jake
I went
McIntyre.
To one with you, with Jake McIntyre, another friend of ours. Yeah. The world gets a little smaller for a second. Yeah.
So that would be the biggest advice is maybe take a seminar. You know, go through the process, learn. So what should they not do? You've seen. I'm sure you've seen a few of the. Probably shouldn't have done that.
Lie.
Don't lie.
Don't lie.
That's
don't
just
lie.
Good advice. Period. Yeah.
But we'd probably be surprised.
But, very few do.
That's good to know. Yeah. So submit. Yeah. Apply and submit.
For sure.
And try and get some funding.
And we can tell you which one is the best fit.
And how do they get a hold of you or the?
Well,
department?
You can get me.
Yeah.
J Bocut BOWCUTT at utah.gov.
How easy that is.
And can I do a shout out for something?
Yes, please.
I have got funding for performing artists called career advancement funding that I will reimburse someone, a performing artist. They just need to tell me what they are going to use this funding for to advance their career, and I will reimburse them up to $1,000.
Podcasting.
I think so. Yeah, maybe we make that work there. I think someone from, you know, our good friends at Good Company Theater up at Ogden, I think that we could find somebody there that would apply to.
Yeah,
I think that's fantastic. We have been exchanging a little bit via email. At least your name has been popping up because we are both heading down to Moab tomorrow.
Yep.
So what do I have ahead of myself over these next 4 days?
You're coming to take the Change Leader program.
Yes, sir.
So you're coming into the Change Leader Institute. 3 days of intensive training on leadership skills, adaptability skills, emotional intelligence.
You drop me in the woods or in the desert. That's what it is.
Exactly.
It's one of those things.
Like, right outside of Moab.
Learn change. Bye.
Can you learn to ride a grant in the desert alone?
That's your challenge.
I'm really excited about this for you, Todd.
Yeah, you're going to have a good time.
But this program's been going for a while.
Yeah, this has been going on since 2004.
And then what's the culmination?
So you go through these 3 days, and then you have to take these tools, these skills, and
take
you have
what you've
to
learned, young child,
and fly. and then you have to do a project in your community within a year, and then you come and you present that at one of our conferences, and you become a certified change leader. And we've got over 250 across the state.
And then once you are a certified change leader, other than,
you have like
I'm hoping there's a vest or
there's a magnet, coat. A name tag
See,
magnet.
Perfect. That's great. That's worth it alone right there.
Right. And a certificate.
But that being said, the certified change leaders do have opportunities to work together that
Absolutely,
much more.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. Yeah, we then do continued professional development for that group of people. Actually, and Jake was just down in.
I just missed that one. Yeah,
Bryce Canyon presenting for us on a Change Leader conference.
And a good friend of mine,
awesome.
Catherine McKay. You're probably familiar with her.
Love Catherine.
She's
McKay.
She and I both do the Arts in the Parks program.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Which
she's
I believe may person. Have been tied with one of her original projects.
Yeah, actually, it was. That was her Change Leader project.
Yeah, and then. My good friend Lori Buckley just wrapped up one when
Another
she did the Painted
person.
Streets project.
Which was so beautiful. Yeah, so she presented that at our conference, so we all got to see the photos. Incredible project.
It was really fun.
Yeah, it was amazing.
We need to get you up. Have you seen all of these in person?
Have
you seen the streets?
Have
you seen our new murals? Have you seen the new Monarch building? We've got neat stuff up there.
So I was up in the summertime, but I always like coming to Ogden.
We'll get you, and we'll just hang out, and we'll get you a tour of this new Monarch space.
I'm excited to see that.
Our new podcast that we're working with for this interview right now is the Nine Rails Arts Podcast.
Yeah.
And so this is right in the heart of that, is this new creative space, and it is incredible.
See, that's why I like Ogden. There's this kind of... There's all these people who are doing this kind of work around with art, with culture as the centerpiece for building from. I love it.
I feel like good about myself. Yeah, but it's fantastic, and it's fantastic to hear about what you're doing as well, and resources that we all have access to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's fantastic.
Awesome. This is Jason Boca. Thanks for joining us, Community and Performing Arts Manager for Utah Arts and Museums.
Yeah, thank you.
I have a feeling we can chat forever. Thank you so much.
It's really fun. Thanks.
This is your first kind of showing down here in Salt Lake.
Yes, yes.
But it's because you worked down here.
Yeah, I work at the Children's Museum, Discovery Gateway, and last year I just stumbled upon Illuminate, and
so
I was like,
describe,
oh, shoot.
So we didn't make it down to Illuminate last year, so what was it that just like, oh, this is for me?
Just the fact that it was light art. I've been super interested in light art for a few years, so I was like, oh my gosh, there's a light art thing in Salt Lake City, why am I not involved in that? What am I doing?
So how do you start light art? What did you do to get started? How do you develop your craft? Tell me a little bit about what you do as a light artist.
Cool. So I think I got interested in it when I was in university back in New York, Alfred, New York. Ooh. I was working with glass, and I was really interested in like the optic properties of glass because I also have a background in physics. So I was like, oh, I'm more interested in the light part of this than the glass part of this. And then I just kind of dove into that part more than the glass.
So how would you describe, because my eyes are shut and I'm trying to picture your work right now, particularly the work that you have, and how do you have it displayed, and how would you describe it? And then we'll go check it out.
To podcast listeners, yeah.
Yes, cool, to podcast listeners, yeah.
So I have a room, and when you first walk in, it's kind of like this room full of mundane objects. And I've taken some LEDs and fiber optic things and lenses to make projections and turned these mundane objects into sort of magical objects. So some of the pieces I have here, I have a bathtub, an old clawfoot bathtub that from afar looks kind of like it's a little rusty and the paint's kind of chipping off. And then when you get up to it, you'll see it's filled with black water. And then there's a bunch of points and light. Of light in there that look like the stars
coming out of the water.
They're underneath the water.
Oh, wow.
So it looks like a bathtub is filled with stars,
as it should be,
as it should be. As any clawfoot bathtub should be.
And again, so we didn't do a proper introduction. You're listening to Justina Bonaventura, light artist here down here at Illuminate 2018, the second annual Illuminate.
And so you're thinking for your first setup, I'm gonna do an installation with the clawfoot bathtub, which is super lightweight, super manageable,
easy to move.
Just throw it in the back of the hatchback or whatever you have. So how was the setup? A lot of friends, you call them favors?
Well, I'm lucky. My boyfriend is wonderful, and he helped me get this bathtub
out of my
car twice. It was in my backyard for a while. My roommates didn't mind having a nice old clawfoot bathtub back there so I could get everything set up. Then we had to lift it into my car again and bring it over here. So it was fun. It's always fun contacting strangers on the internet to buy their clawfoot bathtubs too. And they're like, what are you using this for?
Well.
It's the stars. It's going to be filled with the stars.
Yes, it involves stars.
Yes.
Yeah. That's totally understandable. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Sounds good to me. So other than Illuminate, where would you host your art?
Like, where do I or where would I? Right now, just mostly at my house.
Yeah.
But hoping to grow.
That's why the idea is that's why this festival is what it is.
So, yes, yeah.
So that you can bring an artist like you can show off your stuff.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to chat with some other artists? What's the response of your own? Are you getting some good feedback?
Yeah, I've talked to a few of the other people in the show, and they've given me some good thoughts and stuff. It's interesting because I've seen the bathtub and it looks really different when it's not filled with water. and we obviously didn't bring it here filled with the water. That would have been very difficult, much heavier.
Nice choice.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see what they think before and after they see it with the water and without when it's not filled with black ink.
And typically when you're right in the middle of a show, you're already thinking about your next one, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
It sounds like it's very playful. You're just kind of playing with what works.
Yeah.
I think a background in you said physics kind of plays into it just a little bit. Is that what you went to school for?
I went to school for physics and art. So it was
naturally
a fun years of stress.
Oh my land. So what's your day job? What's your day consists of?
So I work for Discovery Gateway Children's Museum as an outreach educator. Mm-hmm. So I go out to schools and teach kindergartners physics.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I wish it wasn't so far away. So I work up at Weber State University up in Ogden.
Oh, cool.
In the Department of Visual Art and Design, and I'm their outreach manager. And so I bring kids over to our gallery space. I set up little arts workshops for the kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I also have a program where I set up arts programs in Ogden City Park, so where I bring it to the area kids. Look at all that outreach love.
Yeah, lots of outreach.
But the kids love it.
Yeah, yeah. It's really fun to be able to bring something new into their usual
life. They kind of light up, don't they?
Yeah.
What, Justina, what do the kids teach you?
It keeps you
how
young.
To explain things better, yeah. how to be
good.
Really patient and kind when they're not listening. But no, some of their ideas are really funny and interesting. Like, I think we're so used to thinking a certain way. And sometimes we'll ask the kids something like, what's a scientist do? And they'll be like, oh, they're evil and they take potions that'll turn you evil.
Those darn
make
cartoons.
You nice. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I guess that's what I used to think when I was young too.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
They are brilliant. I brought in, on Friday, I brought in a group of third graders to look at some art, and there is no shortage of questions and responses and looking at things through the eye of, there was a piece that was, it was sort of fragmented out, and it was Minecraft. Minecraft?
Mind?
Mine. Whatever the video game is.
Minecraft.
And so, yes, it made me sound a little bit older to this group of kids, but that is, they just lit up because it was essentially a video game in the flesh. And so clearly, maybe not the artist's intention, but at the same time, they connected in a certain way. So I love kids.
Yeah, it's great seeing their responses to artwork too. Because it's like, they're used to living in a world where magic's not really allowed, only on TV. And then you come into this room full of magical objects that are art, and they're like,
you're just a big
kid.
This is what it is.
Yes. I'm like, I want everything to be magical. All those street lights to project carpets onto the ground.
Well, thank you for sharing your magic. I can't wait to go check out your work.
Yeah.
Okay, so we haven't had a chance to walk down, and so by the time this is released, it'll be in the past. But for us, where can we find you?
So I am in the Dreamscapes installation area, which is if you go to the building next to the Urban Arts Gallery, north of it, and go in, you're going to go into this waiting room. But don't be put off by the waiting room. You have to take a ticket and wait. That's part of the whole experience.
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
And then they'll let you in. And I don't want to spoil anything because it's
perfect.
Really great.
Well, thank you so much for taking some time.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Do you have a website or anything up yet?
I have justinabonaventura.wordpress.com.
Sweet.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, come check it out.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Justina.
Thanks
appreciate
for
it.
Me. This
thank you,
great.
Justina.
Yeah,
that was
nice
fantastic.
Definitely a band is the core of it, yeah. We play music, but then we find ways to formulate it in different interactive art ways, I guess.
Like putting it in a planetarium.
Like, we have a comic book that we put out with one of our albums. We're constantly doing stuff with visuals. We used to have a live video glitch artist that would do our shows for us. He would use three VCRs, and he would glitch out visuals while we played. We toured with him in the Pacific Northwest. So we like to embrace mostly like old tech.
All right, so we are sitting down with Conquer Monster, Daniel Romero and Joshua Faulkner of Conquer Monster. And when asked to describe what is Conquer Monster, the answer was like a band in sort of different places, I guess, using different elements. And tonight they will be in a planetarium. And that's coming up here. It's sold out already.
It is sold out.
Yeah.
It sold out last night.
It sold out last night.
Congratulations.
So people know. Yeah. People know. Yeah. All right. Tell us a little bit about Conquer Monster.
Okay.
How'd you start?
Yeah.
Are you friends?
Yeah. Okay. You want to start there? Yeah, so we became friends just over synth gear. Yeah, that was the core. So I'll let Daniel tell you about his stuff in a second, but my stuff that I play on stage is like obsolete computing equipment that I've modified into synthesizers.
Right, and one of the pieces of equipment would be
Commodore 64.
Commodore 64, yeah.
Commodore 64 and Game Boy are the ones that I'll be playing live tonight. I play around with other things like Atari 2600, NES,
Genesis,
Apple II.
Yeah.
I haven't done Genesis yet, okay. But like, yeah, but I'm open to stuff like that.
Okay, what brought you to that place? What was it about the old tech?
Because
a lot of these are before you. I don't want to judge age at all. Everything you've mentioned, I played when I was young, but at the same time, I'm a little bit older. Perhaps,
the Commodore 64 is older than I am. I think it's just I still had nostalgia for that stuff. I mean, I guess my true nostalgia is like NES, like that type of sound. But as I researched it more, the Commodore 64 just has a more like versatile sound chip. Because it's a digital chip, but it has analog filters. And so it has a little more like life in it. And it's just a more broad sound. We can use it for a lot of different things. Where the NES, it kind of fits just into a small area.
And so the two of you were at an old tech club.
Get
together, swap meet.
Yeah. Dinner party.
In my head, I'm picturing some kind of swap meet dinner party.
There were bow ties involved.
No, so Josh was performing at a house party, and it was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. And, you know, I have a slew of vintage synths, and I was just like, what is this new realm I've never even seen before? And so we just started talking, and I was like, here's all the stuff I have. Like, I would love to play music with you. And then that was like in the fall, and then 6 months later, he just hit me up and said, let's do it. And then we've literally been playing ever since.
And it's a lot of playing. Like playfulness as well, I'm assuming, with what you have.
Oh, yeah. So we meet every Saturday, and it's just like hanging out. And we'll create music. We'll come up with new like ideas on how we want to make connections to our music, like what it portrays visually or even, you know, lyrically. So.
And then you hit up the swap meets and thrift markets stores, together. Yeah. Where do you get your gear?
Yeah.
I've pretty much gotten everything on eBay.
eBay's a good, I mean, that's the direction to go. You were talking about old sort of gear. My best friend and I are kind of, let's say, obsessed with VHS, with videotapes, right? And so I don't know where we're at. We're probably
a lot.
Six.
I've seen it. 7,000
tapes.
And stacks,
you know?
Oh, wow.
So it's a ridiculous amount. And it's one of those things where in my head, this is a fantasy retirement. You know what I mean?
All right. No spoilers, but you're going to love the show tonight.
I wish my friend was here for that. Yeah. But that being said, there's something special about the videotapes. It's nostalgia, but it's more than that. You know, it's everything else that's attached. But I do know that most of my VCRs have been through eBay. Yeah. And I pick them up here and there. I don't even probably want to tell you how many VCRs I have. I have a bunch. I think I just got a new Betamax not too long ago too, because I've got this pretty good collection of old beta tapes as well.
It's mostly Raiders of the Lost Ark, be
honest.
There's
a lot of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I don't, you must have 17 Raiders of the Lost Ark, the same movie.
Listen, you can't have enough. That's all I can say about that. Yeah.
Who was your influence growing up, and how did you end up in synth?
I actually didn't listen to a lot of synth stuff. I was into like punk music is mainly what I did growing up. And it was really just I enjoyed modifying the old computing equipment or old toys and things like that. And I was just getting piles and piles of stuff that I wasn't making music with, but that I should be. Mm. And then just one day I was like, okay, I have to start using this to make music.
Now I have to ask the question. Was that you as a child just taking apart your toys, or when did that start?
Mainly in high school.
In
I was
school?
Actually like a really obedient kid growing up, and so I would never take my toys apart. But in high school, I started getting interested in electronics, and I didn't really have any education on it, so I just looked up a few tutorials online and just kind of started from there.
Because see, that's my thought too, and this is obviously a slightly different world for me, but I'm thinking not a lot of mentors in that category, so probably a lot of just exploring. And exploring sounds and what comes out of these sounds. And
yeah.
So what are we looking forward to for tonight without giving away too much? Because this will be released next week, so after this performance. And so if that's
yeah, the podcast is not live. So. It is of course. So everyone's missing it, and it's sold out, so it doesn't matter anyway. But what is Conquer Monster? Yeah, what can we expect this evening?
Not your average dome show.
Nice. I think that alone, I'm there.
You know, so technically last night was the first concert ever that happened in the dome.
Oh, wow.
So tonight's the second concert that ever happened in there.
So you broke it in.
Yeah. So that's the most exciting part. That was the most exciting part for us, is that it was the first opportunity to play music live in the dome. And then we kind of just hit the ground running with what could we do to make it special. And it turned out awesome. We love it.
How'd that conversation start? Who were you talking to? How'd you end up in the space?
So Derek Dyer from the Utah Arts Alliance contacted us. And last year at Illuminate, we did a special video for the Regent Street projections. Mm-hmm. And that was really great. And so I think the fact that we made a 90-minute video for that, he just thought we would be perfect for this project. So
relationships, that's what it's all about. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. And the performance this evening is, like a 30, 40-minute set or something?
It
34, is.
33. See?
I like that.
Run time. Run time. It's on lock. Is this something like, can you tour? Like, is this exclusive to this evening? Like,
we have been talking with the planetarium. They said they are going to put us in connections with other planetariums to give us the opportunity to actually tour with this show.
That'd be amazing.
Potentially.
Yeah. Having not even seen it yet, I'm like, hey, can you?
I'm down.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday we were talking about it. Dome tour. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
Especially if it puts you in some old planetariums. I can just imagine in my head. That's fantastic. Because there is a certain association still, particularly, you know, maybe with my age. We were just talking about Laser Floyd shows, yeah, and Zeppelin shows and that type of stuff.
I used to bring dates to Salt Lake to go to the planetarium to watch Laser Floyd.
But there's something special about a planetarium space, so I'm very excited for that. Yeah. So what are you working on now? What's the next thing? Is there an event? Do you record what you do?
They look very secretive right
now. Well, so this actually came at a good time for us because like Daniel already said, we like to group thing. Like, we've done comic book. We've also done a ballet.
Obviously.
Yeah. and this dome show came. Our next album, we wanted to tie in with a movie that we're writing. And so this has given us, like, kind of our first shot at making a film. Because there's film elements as well as live elements.
I want to go about 5 years into the future at this rate right here, you know. How far ahead do you kind of plan things out? Is it just this next step? Do you stay sort of as present as you can? Is that how quick things evolve? Or do you have like a bank of things that you would love to do?
That's a good question. I haven't been able to think about anything else
other than this,
but this show for the last 3 months.
I completely understand. Yep.
Yeah. But like you said, we've been working on this movie, and this event really pushed us to put it into fruition and like test it out. So it's definitely sort of like the test version of what our next album's going to be. This show mixes old songs and new songs, but the album will be all new songs with a similar concept.
I love the sheer mystery factor of this conversation.
Yeah, I'm so intrigued. Yeah, I have no idea what's going on right now.
I'm just hearing Commodore and old videotapes, and I'm just completely sold. I'm your number one fan right now.
Josh, what piece of equipment have you not got your hands on yet that you really need to find?
What do we need to keep an eye out for? Yeah. Thrift stores and eBay
when we're online.
And think of you.
I don't know a lot about them, but one of the old BBC machines. A lot of people sequenced them in the 80s. I don't know. I don't know a lot about them, though. But
that's, I guess, the thrill of the whole, you know. Of the fight of these things, and then finding what you can get out of them.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
Daniel, what piece of equipment would you never sell?
My 1980 Korg Delta, my first synth ever.
Yeah? Yeah.
I got
1980, that is old, yeah.
A few of my synths are 1980s. That's why eBay is so handy. But that was my first synth, and it'll always be like extremely sentimental to me.
Is it being used this evening?
No, it's on my shelf.
Okay.
It needs a good cleaning, but it has a beautiful string setting that is just so warm. It's an analog synth, so mm-hmm. But yeah, I need to get that checked up and ready to go.
Very cool. So Conquer Monster again is tonight at Illuminate 8 p.m. at the Clark Planetarium, but it is sold out and you're hearing this post anyway. So Daniel Romero, Joshua Faulkner,
it was fantastic.
It was so good.
We were floored. We were surprised every second. I couldn't believe that thing happened at the end. That was completely unexpected.
Everyone is now very interested. So we have to figure out, how do we find you? How do we follow you? How do we get in touch with Conquer Monster?
So Conquer Monster is pretty unique. So if you just search Conquer Monster, you should be able to find us. We have two shows coming up at the Urban Lounge. One at the end of this month with John Mao, who's a really cool artist. And then in December, we're opening for Magic Sword, which is a really cool synthwave band from Boise.
I have to ask the question. You probably had this asked before, but you're, the first time in the van. So Conquer Monster, where'd the name come from? Do you remember?
Yeah. So
yeah.
Are you guys familiar with Deltron 3030?
I have.
It's rap, hip-hop.
I want to play along so much, but no, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, it's a pretty iconic album. Came out in 2000, and there's just a song called Madness, and there's a line where he just says, "Conquer my sponsors, they're monsters."
Oh my gosh.
And the Conquer Monster together just sounded awesome.
You just knew. Was that always the name, or did you have evolving names as you were kind of working together?
I joined later on. So it was already Conquer Monster. Yeah. So when we met, I saw them playing at a party and I was like, please be my friends. And then eventually we played for a year as a trio, and then our other member just went his own way. And then we started writing Metatransit, which was our first release together. And then that's kind of how things just spiked from there.
You guys good as a duo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better bandmate.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we do so much together that it just works out so well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking some time for us. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on the turnout last night and tonight as well. That's very exciting, and we can't wait to see you on these upcoming shows at the Urban Lounge.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much.
You're awesome. Thank you. Yep,
thanks. Oh, you guys are awesome. I cannot wait.
All right, so sitting in the van with us here is Derek Dyer, Executive Director of the Utah Arts Alliance. So the man responsible for this evening's event, Illuminate, second year in a row. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me out.
Yeah.
So it's second year, second night, so you got this dialed down.
Oh, yeah, we're almost set up. So.
That's good, because it's almost getting dark, so it's really perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a motto at the Utah Arts Alliance, which is, we should have started earlier. And sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not. But no, it's great. I think we shoot for the stars, and sometimes we hit the moon, and that's pretty good.
Well,
so.
That's a good metaphor, because there's people here projecting stars this evening.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Which we learned about from one of the artists. So, how many artists are here this evening with their works?
I wish I had like eight. Yeah, approximately. I would say, well, when you included all of the performers, musicians, and like over 50 artists easily. But I think as far as installations and standalone pieces, there's probably 30 or so different pieces.
How does that compare to first year?
Everything it's bigger this year. Bigger it's this definitely, year. Yeah. It's grown quite a bit.
Same location. Love the Gateway?
Yeah, we love the Gateway. We have our Urban Arts Gallery here, which we've moved into the, we've been part of in the Gateway here for about 6 years, and we moved into this new location that's bigger and better about 6 months ago, and it's been really good for us. We just found out today that we were voted for the second year in the row best gallery in Utah.
Wow, congrats.
And so it's been working out very well for us. And yeah, we love the Gateway. There's a lot of opportunity here because they want to have events. They want to have people out, and it's in the middle of downtown, and there's parking, and it's there's a lot of good pieces to it. There's also some spaces available here, so we're able to put a lot of installations indoors. Mm-hmm. And so this time of year, the Weather's always kind of a little tricky, but it gets dark early enough to have a light art festival. And so this space is great because you're able to come inside, to see some installations, warm up, come outside. Actually, it's not too cold.
It's really. Actually a great night.
Yeah, nice. But that's about 50-50 indoor and outdoor. So it's okay. It's nice because you can go in and see an installation inside and then go out and wander around. So. Mm-hmm.
And tonight you're busy, of course, with Illuminate, but what's your daily day job type look like?
So I run the Utah Arts Alliance, mm-hmm. and we throw three festivals. The Urban Arts Festival, which is our largest festival. It's the largest free art event in Utah. That's in September at the Gallivan Center. And then we collaborate with South Salt Lake City Arts Council on Mural Fest, which is in South Salt Lake. And that's, like it sounds, a mural festival with sort of a celebration at the end. Mm-hmm. We do a mural walk and things like that. And then we do a couple other big-ish but not festival-level events throughout the year. A monthly event called Connect here at the Urban Arts Gallery. But then we also have four facilities, so including the gallery, and then we have the Arts Hub and the Art Factory, which are both kind of community art centers. Both of them are about 35,000 square foot. They have artist studio spaces, event space, wow. maker space, all different sorts of things like that. And then we have the Counterpoint Studios, which is our recording studio. And we have a record label we run out of there called Midnight Records. And then also in the last year, we started a new community radio station, 99.9 FM, mm-hmm. KUAA. So that's also out of the Hub. And so all of those things, you know, with our venues, events and programs keep me pretty busy. And so that no day looks the same though, but they're typically 12-hour days.
So, yeah, as they should be. Yeah. And so funding for the Utah Arts Alliance comes from where?
From a variety of sources.
Derek's deep pockets.
Yeah,
right. I wish that would make it a lot easier. Yeah, no, we have to hustle for the money, that's for sure. We write a lot of grants. We get donations. The community supports us a lot. We do actually generate a lot of earned income. So the art gallery, we actually do move a lot of art. A lot of people do buy art from us at the Urban Arts Gallery. We have several programs that generate revenue, but we do get funding from the state, the county, the city, and then a lot of foundations. And so,
because tonight's event is free.
Tonight's event is free. All of our festivals are free.
Yeah. Oh,
and that's a big, important part of what we do. We want to alleviate any financial barriers for people to experience the arts and participate in the arts. And so for some people, even $5 or $10 is too much money for them to spend on that. But they could have a transformative experience that could change their lives. And it's just unfortunate that they might not be able to experience that because of their economic status, you know. And so we work extra hard to make sure that we can try to pay for everything without charging admission. So people are able to donate, you know. So at, like, the Urban Arts Festival, we have the opportunity for people to donate at the door, and we do actually generate a lot of revenue from that. But if you can't, we're not going to tell you you can't come in. So that's an important part of what we do. We want to make sure everyone can participate equally.
So when's your mural fest? When do you put that on?
So that's May. It's third weekend in May. I think this next year it's the 19th or 20th, something like that. Right around there. It's the third weekend.
And how long have you been doing that one?
So that we just launched that last year.
Okay. So I feel like I missed that, but if it's just one,
well, it feels like a lot of new stuff happening though. The Mural Fest and the radio station.
You're like, I think I'd like a radio station too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Mural Fest, the vision behind that is that we're working with South Salt Lake City Arts Council to commission at least 10 new murals a year in new locations, but within this proximity of this area of South Salt Lake, mm-hmm. with the hope that over 10 years we have 100 murals in this area. And basically that would just be, we would transform that area entirely and make
what's
it like
geographically, where does South Salt Lake begin? What street?
Kind of the area we're talking about is 21st South, basically. Okay. 21st South, which a lot of people like think of as south of Salt Lake City, mm-hmm. but yeah, just south of 21st South and say about West Temple area, mm-hmm. That's where you turn into South Salt Lake. And so our art factory location is right there on about West Temple and 21st South. And then we also, one of our other facilities, Counterpoint, our recording studio is also there. So we have deep roots there. Our first center was 15 years ago, was in South Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. So we've been there a long time. our headquarters here is here in downtown Salt Lake City. But, you know, and the, not that it's that far away, you know, it's all kind of connected.
So how'd you get your start?
That's a long story, but I mean,
okay,
I guess
that's too big of a question. Well,
I was going to say we have all night, but yeah, actually we got to be somewhere in an hour. And that's Conquer Monster.
Yeah. All right. That's going to be cool. I think that the short version of that is that I'm an artist. And as I was coming up, I was realizing that there weren't avenues for me to show my art. And I'm a visual artist, and I have a lot of friends that are musicians or dancers or whatever. And all of them are having the same problem. There wasn't a place for them to play. There was not a place for them to perform. There wasn't a place for me to show my work. There was at the time only a handful of pretty decent galleries in Salt Lake, and they were not interested in my work. So I just decided to start doing my own thing. And so I would start throwing art shows and art parties and taking over warehouses and just doing art events and things like that, throwing fundraisers for other nonprofits and things like that. And long story short, it's kind of grown into Utah Arts Alliance.
That seems to work out for you.
Yeah. It's been a lot of work, but it's you know, we've become a pretty big organization. We have 17 staff right now, and like I said, the 4 facilities and the events and stuff like that. So things have been growing quickly. Like you said, you know, we launched a radio station last year. We've launched 2 new festivals over the last 2 years. Things are going pretty good.
Is that growth planned, or are these just sort of spontaneous? Sometimes things develop because they just develop fast.
Yeah, so we like to be flexible enough to see an opportunity and take it when it's presented to us. But the radio station took 4 years. I mean, so there's a lot of these things are seeds we plant, and there's a lot of seeds that we planted that didn't ever grow into anything. Like we've had a lot of good ideas that never turn into anything, and we certainly don't succeed at everything we try, of course. And then some of the things, you know, you see an opportunity come up, and you know, nothing happens quickly, but we're working on this idea to create an immersive art attraction, kind of in the kind of inspired by Meow Wolf. And so we launched sort of our pilot project here at Illuminate this year. It's called Dreamscapes. And so that was a project we've probably been working on for 5-6 months, you know. So some things kind of, you know, take 4 years, like the radio station, and some things take 6 months to kind of, you know, start figuring out. So
again, we're speaking with Derek Dyer, Executive Director of the Utah Arts Alliance. Derek, Todd, and I have this conversation often where we get so buried in our day-to-day work that we sometimes don't find enough time for our own personal work. Are you still working on personal projects?
I'd like to have more time to work on my own personal artwork. This year I did complete a pretty big commissioned piece, so I found that if I'm able to, you know, commissions are always easy to do because
that's a motivator.
You get paid for it, you know.
Yeah,
so that's
weird.
Good.
I got to get this one done.
Yeah, right. So that's always a motivating factor. I did set up a new studio, and I've been working on just kind of getting in there, even if the painting isn't a masterpiece. Just trying to, I enjoy painting the most, even though that's not probably what I'm known most for. I've kind of been getting back in the studio a little bit more and doing painting. And then just like the big disco ball down there,
super cool,
which we're excited to go check out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so you know, we try to bring that out as often as we can. And that's a big project in and of itself, just keeping that maintained and clean and pretty like it is. So,
and congratulations on that, initial world record.
Well, yeah, I didn't do the introduction correctly.
And then North American record,
because it should have been the Guinness Book World Record holder, Derek Dyer, is what it should have been, until the damn Russians.
Right? They ruin everything.
But that being said, I don't know how many world or record holders we've talked to. And so what was that process? Did you, I mean, were you going after that originally? Was that an after?
Yeah, I was.
You found out the size beforehand.
So I was producing some artwork that I felt was pretty good at the time, but it wasn't really getting recognition or getting placed like I wanted it to be. And I wanted to create a piece that just could universally be like recognized as incredible. And so I had this idea at the time. This movie called Groove came out, which was this yep. great movie.
Yeah.
And the poster has this guy on the BART that has a big disco ball in his lap, and I just was kind of laughing to myself because it's a huge disco ball. He's like carrying it on the train in San Francisco, right?
As you do, yeah.
Yeah. And I just laughed to myself. I was like, "That's a big disco ball," and I was like, "I wonder what the biggest disco ball is. I wonder if there is such a thing." And so right. I went to the bookstore, and Guinness Book of World Records for Kids 2001. was out. This was a long time ago. And I picked up the book and I opened it up. The page I opened it up to was a picture of the current disco ball.
No.
And I was like, well, that's an omen if I ever saw one. And at the time, that was only 8 foot tall. And I was like, I can do that. That's not even, you know.
Yeah, give me a challenge.
Yeah, I put my arm up, and that's about 8 foot tall, right? You know. So I was like, so I decided that I could do that, and I did. And but before I was like, I don't want to build this ball and not qualify, or you know, I wanted to make sure I did it right. I contacted them. I said, what's the criteria?
Yeah.
I was in communication with them all along. And made sure that I documented the whole process. I sent them a whole video. It was like 6 minutes long of the whole process and interviews and stuff like that. And yeah, got the certificate, and it was published in the 2005 book, which was the 50th anniversary book, which is cool.
Wow,
it was like a special edition kind of thing.
That's the one that ends up in people's collections. So that's a good one to be in.
So so that was cool. That was special. And they also they keep track of about 60,000 records, but they only publish about 5,000 in a book. So even if you break a record, that doesn't mean you're ever going
to
get published.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So it has to be publishable worthy. Yeah. It's got to be flashy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, icing on the cake is getting published in the book on top of getting your certificate, you know, and stuff. So that was really cool. With that ball, right away, I was like, if I do this again, I'm definitely going to do some things differently. So that ball was solid foam. I had a lot of feedback that people wanted to get inside of it and live inside the ball and all these kind of comments like that. And I was like, if I make this again, I'm going to make it so you can get inside of it. I'm going to make it so it can sit on the ground. It doesn't have to hang from a crane or something like that. And so the new ball is, when it's on its stand, is 24 foot tall. And so it's about almost three stories tall. It's pretty big. And then one of the panels opens up to a staircase and you can get inside of it. It's like climbing into a UFO. Even the feet look like UFO landing pod. It's really cool. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. And you get inside of it. Tonight we have the door closed and it's rotating, so you can't get inside of it. We had the door open yesterday. But when you do get inside of it, there's an 8 foot in diameter dance floor. So you can actually party inside the disco ball.
Yeah.
Like you always have a disco, any good party has a disco ball.
Right, right.
And
you're in the disco ball.
Yeah,
and you party
but the really good
it.
Party has, you can get inside the disco ball. So, yeah.
So, and we don't ask every guest on our podcast this in the van, but how big was your original disco ball?
That was 10 foot in diameter. Okay. Yeah. And so this one is 20 foot in diameter when it's not on the base. And so with the base, it's about 24 foot tall.
Jeez.
So,
with the dance floor.
And so what would the next one, how big would it have to be? What was the bump up that the Reskies did?
So when we were looking at this, the largest in the world, I can't remember what the size was, but they made it. It's not really functional. So it didn't have a motor that would rotate it, and they had to have people with straps on it walking around in circles to rotate it and stuff.
I knew it.
And I didn't want to. For this project, I was more concerned about it being cool and functional and usable than just breaking the record, you know. Well, there's nothing wrong with just breaking the record, but I had kind of other intentions for it. I wanted it to kind of go to another step and be a real art piece. And so I think we accomplished that. So that's more important to me.
So how do you store a 24 foot illuminator?
It comes apart into many pieces. It has over 1,000 mirrors. Each mirror comes off individually. Each mirror has basically kind of clamps on, and then it also has four Velcro strips as an extra safety measure. And so each one of those comes off. You have to clean each mirror. It's very time consuming. And then you take the whole ball apart. And then basically I have this 30 foot enclosed trailer, and it fits in there like Tetris. If you don't put it in a certain way, you're not going to get it all in there.
Yeah.
But if you kind of nest everything in together and you put it in just like a perfect Tetris puzzle, then you can fit it all in the trailer and take it wherever. You know, I've taken it around the country and It's pretty cool.
Oh, you have? Where's the coolest, best place you've taken?
Well, I haven't taken it an incredibly large amount of places, but probably Miami.
Yeah.
And so, which is about as far as you can go in the country.
Yeah.
And so.
At like a club party art scene? Where did
it was? I had someone rent it for opening of a development. And so it's this big development called Paramount. And they basically, it was kind of a party for rich people. I mean, they.
Well, they rented.
Listen,
a disco
if I'm
going to
associate a 24-foot disco. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They wanted to do something like incredible and spectacular to launch this multi-billion-dollar development project that they were going to be doing. But this party was pretty funny. They had gold-plated Ferraris blocking the streets.
Wow.
You know how we use barricades in Salt Lake?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they use Ferraris to block their streets.
Similar to
the
parties we throw, Todd, on Saturdays. Yeah,
it was pretty funny. So, but hey, you know.
Congratulations.
That's pretty awesome. Derek, thanks so much for spending some time with us in the van tonight and for this wonderful event, Illuminate 2018. Derek Dyer, the Executive Director of the Utah Arts Alliance. So we can find more information out of the Utah Arts Alliance at
UtahArts.org.
UtahArts.org. Sweet. Awesome. Thanks.
Super nice to meet you. Thank you so
much. Yeah, nice to meet you too.
Thanks for your time,
Derek.
Appreciate it.
Good stuff.
Oh, that was fun. All the disco balls. Giant disco balls from Derek Dyer,
which is now in storage.
Which is apparently you've got to
Tetris
that thing into
I want to see it out and about again.
That was pretty fun. So, but it got us thinking about Guinness Book of World Records, actually.
Just saying.
Yeah. Well, put a bow on it. That is a wrap for episode 9 of the Nine Rails Arts Podcast, produced by the Banyan Collective, arts and adventure podcasting since 2010. The Banyan Collective's Nine Rails Arts Podcast explores what it means to be an adventurous creative in 2018. Through a partnership with arts nonprofit Ogden First, we are also sharing the stories of Ogden's new Nine Rails Creative District, including those of the district's epicenter and future home to artisans, designers, and creatives, the Monarch Building, the future home of the Banyan Collective. Give us a follow, the Nine Rails Arts Podcast on Facebook, also on Instagram at @9 for Nine Rails, or search the Banyan Collective on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. This week, we'll leave you with a little something out of our Van Sessions archives from season 2. This is Michelle Moonshine with Not Knowing.
I see your face everywhere I go, and I hear your voice. In the wind that blows, someone is looking behind my back, and I want to know just where you're at. How to know what to say, how to know what to say, how to know what to say. Maybe it's better that way. And I check my phone, check my email, check my mailbox, I check calendar 3 times a day. Now I wanna see you, want to get to know you, but I can't lie. Just the words to say. How to know what to say. How to know what to say. How to know what to say. Maybe it's better that way. Of my hands, I don't know what to say. face. Everywhere I go and I hear your voice. In the wind that blows, I'm always looking behind my back, and I want to know, want to know just where you're at.
Yeah, it's here for Michelle Moonshine on Van Sessions.